Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tethys Oil AB report of the second quarter 2014. Today I'm pleased to present Magnus Nordin, Managing Director, and Morgan Tsvangirai, CFO. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for Tethys' second quarter report for 2014. It is indeed a pleasure to present the report with all numbers pointing in the right direction and operations evolving in excellent ways. Start focusing on the highlights for the quarter. We are happy to report record net sales of 245 million SEK, an EBITDA of 192 million SEK. Is actually a considerable increase even compared to the first quarter this year, let alone compared to previous quarters. Net result, 107 million crowns, the first time we topped 100 million crowns for a quarter, but hopefully not the last indeed. Earnings per share of more than three crowns per share. Our balance sheet dramatically strengthened with the redemption of the 400 MSEC bond that was outstanding earlier this year and replaced with a MUSD 100 reserve-based credit facility. And as you also note, we are using that credit facility to a very small degree at the moment. And with the EBITDA we had for the first quarter and the production we reported for July, we see no immediate need to use it at all, which makes it even better that the bond is gone and we now have a revolver in place instead. We have been quite successful so far this year with the exploration and appraisal, and of course that is behind both the increase in production but also the increase in reserves. As you know, we update our reserves on a yearly basis with a third-party report from petroleum engineers Squire McNaughton. This year, we asked them to also do an interim report in the reservoir section where we have the most action, namely the lower Buer section, the B4EW4, 5, 6, 7, etc. Structures. And we see an increase in both 1, 2, and 3P reserves, which is quite satisfactory given the well program we've had. We should also remember that when it comes to reserves, given that we optimize production first, all the wells we've drilled are put in production within weeks of completion. But that also has the added effect that reserves lag a little bit. And as we work our way from the center of the structure towards the edges, it's going to be that way. We're first going to see the production and then reserves, also as we move forward into the second half of the year. Looking at the asset base, there is nothing wrong with Lithuania, for example. On a standalone basis, we're doing fine, both on production is reasonably stable, and we see exploration doing fairly well, both in the shale section and in the carbonate sections. But of course, it pales compared to Oman, in particular Blocks 3 and 4. France, we have also reasons to be cautiously optimistic. Primarily, it's been a political delay, but we are seeing signs that the politics is slowly stabilizing, and we are hopeful to see some action in France also. But everything else pales to Blocks 3 and 4, where we've had tremendous success over the last couple of years. Returning to some more detail on the reserves, let's just point out that we've only updated the lower Buer reserves. We have not done anything with the Barik reservoir in Farah South or the Kufai in Sawan East. But given the focus on lower Buer, we felt it was material to give an update on what's happened there. And again, the numbers speak for themselves. We have had tremendous impact from our program in the lower Buer reservoir. And of course, the production shows a similar sign. Been steady progress since November of last year, and with quite a substantial increase between June and July after the quarter in question. primarily driven by the lower Buah appraisal discoveries, but also underpinned by the bellwether Farah South production, which continues to respond extremely well to water injection and gives us a very good backbone for our reserves, for our production, and for our future. Turning now to the details of the numbers, I will be happy to leave the floor to Morgan, who will guide you through the various intricacies of this quarter's report. Morgan, please.
Thank you, Magnus, and good morning to you all. I will continue on this theme of records and take you through the financials and then give the floor back to Magnus. Looking at production on a quarterly basis, second quarter 2014 is up 8% compared to first quarter 2014. Looking back a bit longer to the second quarter 2013, production is up 67%, which is a very significant increase indeed. And as production is the backbone of our financials, this development will be represented in all of our finances. Just to point out what Magnus just said, all our sales is coming from blocks 3 and 4 in Oman, where we have a 30-year production license, and we have a 30% interest together with partners Mitsui and CCED. Looking at sales in barrels, we can see that it basically is in line with the production development, although a bit more jumpy. This has to do with the nomination process, whereby we nominate volumes to be sold a few months ahead. And looking at the increase for the second quarter 2014, where we sold 350,000 barrels, we have, for that specific quarter, it has been in line with production. We have even decreased the underlift position slightly. First quarter did not reflect the production development, and we increased the underlift position instead. It should be said also that as per mid-year end, 30 June, we have still an underlift position of slightly more than 30,000 barrels. If we look at sales in value, it's very much a reflection of sales in barrels. We have seen very stable oil prices for the last quarter and for the last five quarters. So this is merely a reflection of this. The first 6 months is up. It has sales of 440 million Swedish kroners. And if we look a bit left on this slide, we'll see it's quite a substantial development indeed for the first 6 months compared to previous quarters and previous years. Oil prices stable have been trading, or our achieved oil price has been in the range of $102 to $109 per barrel for the last five quarters, which is very stable indeed. Our oil price is Omani blend, which is very close to Brent oil price with a two-month lag. Even exchange rates have been stable lately, and for the second quarter was just a 1% depreciation of the Swedish krona. EBITDA up 48% second quarter compared to the first quarter. Striking here is, of course, the EBITDA margin. If we look back for the last five quarters, we can see ranges between 67 to 78% EBITDA margin, with, of course, this second quarter being the record level of 78%. As I will come back to, EBITDA is basically related to the oil price, which has been stable, and OPEX variations. So this is the reason. It's up 48% on a quarterly basis. Turning into expenses, which will explain a bit of this EBITDA margin development. Operating expenses, being the bulk of our expenses related to the oil production in Oman, is actually down second quarter compared to first quarter. As was pointed out in the first quarter was affected by late coming expenses relating to 2013, so they were a bit high. Most of the OPEX is fixed. And OPEX has basically been following the development of the project in Oman and growing along with it. Turning to the next slide, we'll try and go back and look at OPEX if we adjust it for timing differences and over and underlift adjustments. You can see that OPEX for the last five quarters has been in between $11 and $15 per barrel, lower for the last two quarters as most of OPEX is fixed. The net back is in the range $40 to $45 per barrel. This is after government take. For any reporting period, there will be timing differences, but this is the underlying OPEX and net back, how it looks. So it has been fairly, it has been more stable than in any given quarterly report when we remove the timing differences. Strong cash flow development and basically in line with all the other financial developments. Second quarter again, record level and close to 150 million Swedish kronors on a single quarter. And the development has been very strong for the last five quarters, also looking back a bit. So basically in line with all the other financial developments in the company. Now, net result after tax is where the perhaps the strongest achievement. It's up 86% on a quarterly basis. 107 million Swedish kronors for the second quarter compared to 58 during the first quarter. Explained by strong sales development, lower OPEX, and a decrease in underlift position. We should also bear in mind that second quarter result is affected by an extraordinary effect of 23 million kroner cost relating to the bond redemption. The reason why result is higher or the growth is higher than for the other financials is that most of the other costs are the higher sales affect our net margin. It increases our net margin. OPEX being more fixed and none of the other costs go proportionally with sales. So higher sales will mean higher net margin. We continue to have a very strong balance sheet. We've turned a net debt position to a net cash position. We replaced the 400 million SEK bond in early April. We replaced it with a revolving reserve-based credit facility, 100 million US dollars. This is flexible in use and will reduce our financing cost and used when needed. So, again, very strong balance sheet development. Turning then finally to oil and gas investments, almost all of our investments go into blocks 3 and 4. Seen an increase in investment during the second quarter. It was close to 80 million kroners compared to 45 million kroners during the first quarter. Focus on this, these investments are exploration, appraisal, and the development of the blocks 3 and 4. We maintain the view of 400 million Swedish kroner investment budget for the year. So far we have invested 125 out of those. Going a bit into detail of what we have invested in Oman, I'll give the floor back to Magnus to go into the details.
Thanks,
Yes, Morgan. So we've been look, primarily at wells drilled. The program for the second quarter was quite well focused. Water injection continues to work very well in Forest South. We're nearing completion of the old blocks drilled. Any new block, any new discovery in the Forest Trent Fault blocks will also be subject to water injection from day one. And from that point of view, we continue to see both production wells, the occasional exploration well, and also water injection, etc., drilled. Main impact, major impact, I should say, from the drill bit, has been focused on the lower Bua in blocks in block four. If we turn to the overview slide of blocks three and four. Second quarter activity in the Thora South area and also in the B4EW area where we have all the lower Bua reservoirs. All wells have worked out nicely and it's within the B4EW43D area here that we see most of the increase in production. And, of course, the only updated reserves are from that area. Looking at both reserves, all reserves still relate only to producing reserves, and we are still only booking reserves for the 3D areas around Fora South, Sawan, and the lower Bua in B4EW4. Far field work will pick up speed in the third quarter, and if we should allow ourselves a little bit of forward-looking, we have an ongoing exploration well in the eastern part of the block, the Masira Graben area. We did a 2D survey here in last year, and no wells have been drilled in this part of the block earlier. So the ongoing exploration well is really very much of a stratigraphic well. We want to have seismic control, we want to have well control, we want to know, to see how similar the geology is here to what we have in the western part of the block. The well is ongoing, and of course as soon as we have a result, we will report that, where we also try and expand a little bit on the geological implications of the well results. We are continuing the seismic campaign, and south of the lower Bua area, we are looking to see if both the Barik and the lower Bua, and so also the Kufai limestones, continue further south. And of course, we are quite keen to get the ongoing 3D seismic completed to see what we can do in that part of the block. Further far field exploration that we expect to see later this year is the Answers area in the very western part of the block, and possibly a little bit further south of that, where we look at the Sahajma wells. Here, of course, when we come to the far field exploration, we are looking at considerably riskier plates, although in several of these also previous operators have made discoveries, although deeming them sub-commercial. We are also trying to tie together the area between Fara South and Sawan Lower Bua, where we'll see some activity both in what could be the continuation of the Barik trend, but also the continuation north of the lower Bua structure. So we've so far this year seen very good results from all wells drilled, and we'll move into a slightly riskier period in the second half, but we'll also see some hopefully interesting seismic. And outside of blocks 3 and 4 in Oman, we also expect to see some drilling on the Rasina license, where we have discovered an interesting trend of Ordovician reefs that, if they are oil-bearing, could prove to be quite interesting. Before we let you go into the question section, just a few more highlights on the lower Bua area, since that is where we have put most of the second quarter focus. We are looking at a carbonate reservoir here, actually two carbonate reservoirs, the Kufai, primarily active in the SE, so one area, and the Lower Bua, primarily active in the B4EW area. We are combining data from both reservoirs, and we are trying to get an even better model of how the oil is distributed here, and we would expect to see more wells throughout this area and the Lower Bua and Sawan fields. All wells that we have drilled here so far have encountered oil in several reservoir layers, not only the Lower Bua and the Kufai. Some of it heavier, some of it lighter, but major efforts on the research and analysis is ongoing to try and tie all this together and hopefully also be able to open up other reservoir sections going forward. So we are seeing activity both in the near field exploration from NEM reservoirs, from the not yet producing reservoirs, and also from the far field exploration programs. And on that note, I'd like to open the floor for questions. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. As a reminder, that is 01. And we have a first question coming in from Mr. Johann Spetz from Pareto Securities. Your question, please. Mr. Johann Spetz, your line is open now.
Thank you. Good morning, Magnus, and good morning, Morgan. Congratulations on another solid set of numbers here this morning. Just one question on the most recent exploration well that you drilled, the B4EW7. You say you completed this in the Kufai. Did you find the Lower Bua reservoir as being oil-bearing at this location as well, how completed it in Kufai?
All wells have encountered oil in all reservoir sections. Since the Kufai is located below the Lower Bua, we started test production from the Kufai.
Okay, so there might be oil potentially flowing from the Lower Bua at this location as well?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we have a next question coming in from Mr. Johan Rydmark from Erik Penser Bank. Your question, please.
Hello. Congratulations on another strong quarter. I appreciate this breakdown on OPEX per barrel, and I understand that you expect $400 million in investments this year, but could you please give a similar breakdown or elaborate a bit on the CAPEX per barrel and your thoughts on that going forward beyond this year? Thank you.
CAPEX per barrel, of course there are ways of looking at this. If we look historically, we can look at the depletion per barrel, but going forward I think this has to do with the continued development and development of the Lower Bua. It's really difficult to give a per barrel breakdown on CAPEX ahead, really. That will have to involve some ideas about future exploration and appraisal success. But if we look at the depletion per barrel, if we take historically, we've been around $10 per barrel in depletion, which is basically investments per reserve, 2P reserve. But CAPEX ahead, the only thing we've said is really the 400 million Swedish kronor program for this year. And we have actually not said anything about next year.
If we should allow ourselves to speculate a little bit, I mean, it's very much going to be work program dependent and result dependent. Assume that we continue to find more oil and production continues to increase. Most likely then we're going to see some additional facilities and possibly pipelines which would create more CAPEX. If that doesn't happen, then we're not going to see that. If we are successful in any of the far field exploration, we're most likely going to see need CAPEX to develop those
far fields. If we're not successful, we're not going to see it. So it's very difficult to forecast, since it's very, very much the opportunity and result.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay, there are no further questions for the moment. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. That is 01 as a reminder. There are no further questions at the time. Please go ahead, speakers.
In that case, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and looking forward to speaking to you again in early November. Thank you.